Thanks so much, Katja, for the generous invitation and hosting and carrying me about. So I'm actually reading under protest this evening when Katja said that I could invite a poet whom I thought showed lots of promise and was, you know, up and coming with her first book that she would read. And I had no idea that I was going to be the ephebe standing at her feet. Groundwork is an extraordinary volume, and this is your opportunity. Like the books are over there. This book is going to go into like 14 editions, and the first edition signed by the author will be selling for tens of thousands of dollars within the next couple of years. So she didn't read her shortest poem in the book called "What the Sirens Said." Yeah. What single line could you imagine following a title, "What the Sirens Said"? Come closer and I'll tell you. I think it's brilliant. There's a single line poem. Maybe we should have an anthology of our single line poems. There's a single line poem by W.S. Merwin, which I always thought was the greatest. And it was called Elegy. It's at the end of one of his earliest books. And the single line is, "Who would I show it to?" Poem called Elegy. Who would I show it to? It's so beautiful. But anyway, this is rivaling for the best single line poem, "What the Sirens Said." I'm going to start off with a longer poem. And don't panic too much. When I say a longer poem, you're probably thinking half the book. But this is going to go on for three pages. It's the first poem in the book. It's called Guillotine. And it combines a lot of interests of mine. It's based on a story of something that actually happened to me at a Christmas party at my father's lodge. He was a mason. And I was sitting in the front row, and there was a magician who showed up, and they were going to hand out presents. But the magician had this guillotine, and he picked me to come up and have my head chopped off. And I was terrified. I was like 8 years old, and I thought the world was going to end. And you know, he did that little trick with the cigarette first. He puts the cigarette in and then chops the cigarette off. So that was me lying dead like the cigarette I was imagining. And that's always kind of sticked with me as a memory. And then as I stuck with me, yeah. As I got older, I began to think a great deal about other ways of losing my head. I have Tourette's syndrome. It's a tic condition. I won't call it a disorder. It gives you lots of mental energy and has it's kind of a double-edged experience. And the idea of losing your head as a experience of having too much mental energy going on all the time, and I just sort of cued with that idea. It sort of touched, one day it just connected with that memory of being afraid of losing my head at my father's lodge, and so this poem resulted from it. Guillotine. Body and mind were never at home under the one roof, that bare dome, high-arched by design. I often wished for a quiet loft, a hidden vault's vertiginous lift, where a swift whimsy's flitter and dip might dart from any sheltered nook. But I always found it discomforting how such easy drifting under the wide spans, dusted with sun rays, could shelter in me such squabble and cluck, unstifled hoots and coos, unnerving sails across a metaphoric gap's precipitous drop. Those were early days, when the Tourette's robotic urge was a giddy exuberance I chose when I liked, or believed I did. The sudden erratic rupture, the blunt nod, awkward elbowings and verbal kicks I swore I did for fun, any time they garnered the inquisitive stare. I've made my peace with the spinning dynamo's monotonous hum, engines run on, clockwork's unnerving tick. Somewhere above, a sloshed puppet master grapples his tangled lines, the heartless jerk pulling my leg. No one mangling the doublespeak. The trickster muses obscure hieroglyphic, his cryptic morse tapping itself out in broken longs and shorts. It's all in your head, the doctors claimed, for whom a tick's involuntary thrust meant having no control, not the nature of the compulsion driving it. And these worries that you're always taking on, your home ruined by floods or abandonment, faces you make out in the curtain pleats, imagined footsteps on the attic boards, aren't worth all this twisting and squint. Don't lose your head over things you cannot change. Somehow the effort always brings to mind the Humber Lodge annual Christmas party and magic show. The Redeemer's Advent rivaled by a local wizard's low-budget spoofs. His job, we knew, was to kill the restless time before the handing out of gifts. The magician was rigged to the hilt, hoops and hats, streamers to yank from ears red with embarrassment, a wand for summoning illusion's fickle boon. And for the evening's coup, grandly unveiled, a medieval guillotine, its blooded, rusty blade hung from loosely tied lines, ominously frayed. A volunteer from the audience, please. You there, lad in the front row, you have a good head on your shoulders. Step up. Oh God, not me. I was a dead man walking, unsteady legs, head filled with gauze, all eyes fixed upon me from a crowd braying for amazement. Kneel on the stool, son, your shoulders here. He pointed to the lower board's half moon carved to match the upper dropped on top. I was an outlaw, convicted without trial for sticking my neck out, clamped down upon, the offending part made to keep still. Good heavens, is my basket large enough for a bean this size? Can you help me out? Just reach around and hold your ears like this. That's very good. Any last words? Chin up. You can look down. It isn't a long drop. Now, everyone together. One, two. Brains hung in abeyance, eyes squeezed shut. The seconds pooled into a giddy drift, a heady wavering stilled in vertigo. Whatever happened next, a blank, as though memory itself, beyond recall, had flopped into the bucket with an awful stare, rudely cleaved, struck by its own deliverance, at last thinking of nothing but itself. There must have been a clang and thunk. The interlocking blade's precarious latch, tripped by a falling tension and release, went through the motions of cutting loose. A pending judgment had passed through me. I was excused, pulled myself together, light afoot, and rose to dizzying applause when something heavy came into my hands. I twitched a nod, and as the ticks came back, carried my gift away and found my place.